We'll briefly review what we discussed last class. We did like a couple of verses, right?
10, 15.
Then we did
13, 14, 15.
Yeah. So just briefly review. Verse number 13. So what is this? Krishna is saying embodied living being controls his nature. So what are the different types of controls we talked about? One is regulative principles, it's right? No, and the other one is prescribed duties.
Yeah.
These are two different points. Okay, and then he resides happily in the city of nine gates. So what is the city of nine gates?
Body.
Okay. So that's what... So essentially here Krishna is telling the living entity is not really the doer. So he doesn't... He neither works nor causes work to be done. So he is not the real doer. So then verse number 14. Who is the doer?
Modes.
The three modes of material nature is a real doer. The secondary doer, right? So then when somebody says, you know, three modes of material nature is doing everything, then, you know, why should I even act? Right? Or, you know, Krishna controls his three modes of material nature, so he is responsible for my actions, in pious and sinful activities. He is to be blamed. If I have an accident or if my child dies, Krishna has to be blamed because material nature is under his control and I am not the doer. So then what's the explanation Krishna is giving? Why it happens like that?
It's our desire.
Our desire, it happens, but why people think like that? In that verse, 15th verse, last line.
Ignorance.
Because of ignorance.
Ignorance.
So covered by ignorance, people falsely blame God as the person responsible for our acts. But the living entity is responsible because of Prabhu's desires.
So in coming in the car, we were discussing Mataji. So the soul, where does it get the desire from? Because the previous verse, we are saying the embodied city is spirit, which is the soul, right? The master of the city does not create activity, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he... So where is this desire coming from?
So desire is inherent to the soul. Basically, soul is, it cannot be desireless. Either it has spiritual desires when it's in like in a pure form, or it has perverted desires to enjoy if it's contaminated. So, yeah, so that's about it. So inherent nature of the, like how consciousness is inherent to the soul has desires.
Okay.
Initially, original desire is to serve Krishna, and by the moment we come in contact with material nature, we have variety of desires to enjoy independent to the God. They just, it's a variety, just manifesting in different ways.
Okay. So, it's when it has desires and when it comes in contact with the material nature, it wants to laud it or
enjoy.
And that, thus it gets the reaction.
Yes.
But the doer is the material energy due to the... material nature, and they are due to the desire, spirit soul's desire. The doer is the material nature.
Yeah, implementer.
Okay.
Okay, so we should be very clear in these three doers and their interrelationship. I'm hoping we covered this twice actually, last time and also earlier also I remember. So can somebody summarize? If I feel that you didn't get it, then I will try to rephrase it again. There are three doers. What is the role of each of them? One is living entity. Second one is material nature. Third one is super soul. Krishna.
Yeah.
So among three, what is the interrelationship? Who does what? What is the responsibility of each of them? Who takes accountability? I want all these answers when somebody summarizes this.
I will try to venture, Mother, if I'm wrong, please.
So you can start it like a
yeah.
sequence.
Yeah. So start from the highest, right? Super soul is the witness to all the actions, reactions. He does not take part in anything. He just sets the system of the material nature, the soul and everything, and whatever is like the proprietor of the company and whatever stuff they do inside, he's not responsible for it. He's the super soul, he's the witness. The next is the soul. The soul is filled with inherent desires and it wants to try to boss over the material nature, which it can't because of the minuteness of the soul and the vastness of the material nature. And finally, it's the material nature, which is inferior in energy wise to the soul, but it is due to the vastness of it, it can subsume the soul itself. And actually it does, because of all the desires, it starts an endless reaction. So,
and so material nature is the implementer. So the soul is doer, in the sense it's responsible for its desires, but he is not the complete or super ultimate doer. Alone is not the doer, because material nature is doing it. And material nature again is mechanically acting. So it has to set it to motion because of some input given by the soul. So that's why soul is responsible for its desires and choices it makes. It has to face the reactions accordingly. And all these things, system is set by the super soul, and super soul within the heart is neutral, is impartial. So whether we desire to, you know, kill somebody, whether we desire to help somebody, if we deserve it according to karmically, super soul is going to sanction it. Karmically, if you deserve it, super soul is going to sanction it. That's all. So it's neutral, overseer and permitter. So example is given, like for example, I want to lift a finger. For us, it's happened so fast, right? You know, we don't even perceive. But what happens, the whole thing is, first the soul says, you know, I want to lift the finger. Then super soul gets the message. Okay, this person is karmically allowed to lift the finger. Yes. Then he dictates the material nature. Okay, now, okay, hand, everything is made of matter, right? Everything now move, everything open inside the cells, everything. Nerves, they act in such a way that, okay, now lift the finger. So, material modes of nature implements that action. But whereas for somebody who has a paralysis, let's say, and they say, I want to lift the finger. The super soul says, you don't deserve it because of your karma. You have a paralysis, you don't deserve it. So, it's sanction failed. He doesn't dictate the material nature to do anything and he cannot lift the finger. But for us, it happens so, you know, instantaneously. We don't figure out how intricately it happens. But this, at least with one example, if you understand it clearly, then it sinks into our heart, you know, what is the role of each of them. Because it's very important for us to understand this, because this is setting a stage for the subsequent verses. Because rest of the verses, Krishna is saying, one who understands this, that who is the real doer, what's the role of super soul, that super soul is actually not responsible for actions and reactions. One who understands this, then one is in knowledge, then he is ready for liberation. That's what he's going to set in the rest of the verses. Okay, so yeah, so we can continue then with the today's section, text number 16. So okay, right, any more questions or comments about this?
So Mataji, the sequence is going to be soul desires,
exactly.
Then super soul sanctions.
Yes.
And then material nature facilitates.
Yeah. That's why when he started super soul, I wanted actually to be like this.
Because he got this birth because of desire itself. Right?
Yes.
The whole
yes.
story
Correct.
Started because of desire.
Yes.
So either the soul will have the desire to lord over the material nature, or the soul will have the desire to serve the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So, but in the material world, so like what right now you are doing is serving the Supreme
Right.
But without your body as a soul, how do you serve the Super Soul?
Yeah, we don't. That's why we use the body in Krishna's service.
It's applicable only when you are in the material world. When like
in the spiritual world, how will you serve Krishna if you don't have body?
Yourself? Exactly. Because if the question doesn't is the right question, you can just skip it. But personally,
okay.
I don't understand what exactly when the
yeah, I understand your question.
Does.
So material body is not a gift; actually, it's a burden. So in spiritual world, there's living spiritual. The spirit souls have spiritual bodies. Body is made of spirit, not of earth, water, air, fire and ether, which is going to, you know, it has to end in few number of years. we have spiritual bodies. So in that spiritual body, we serve Krishna.
The service
are different services. Like for example, gopis make garlands, they cook. They cook for Krishna. There are a lot of festivals. They sing for Krishna. They dance for Krishna. They make butter.
That is where my understanding is. Like they're getting confused that when we in the temple we make garland, but the next day the flower gets dull, so we have to change it and then we put the new. But in eternal world there is no time constraint, so
right.
The flower always will be fresh. So why do you have to change another? You forget another garland. Then where does it go? It's very
flower itself is a service.
No, flower also there. That's another dimension to this is that each of flower is also actually it's conscious.
Soul.
It's not like flower like here where it's matter, right? The flower is spirit actually. Flower talks. Flower feels okay. Now I'm going to be in front of Krishna. No, like that. It feels like that. Anyway, that's a different dimension. So I don't know about this. You know, where does the flowers go? Is it like throw away all those things? I don't know about that, but. But Krishna can wear unlimited garlands. It's not like, there is only one Krishna and there can only be one garland at a time. It's not like this. Krishna expands in so many unlimited forms to accept service from everyone. So everybody feels fully satisfied. So I don't know what it is like to be in the spiritual world. So I can tell only from what I heard. So at least what seems like this plausible explanation. So Krishna expands unlimitedly to accept that service. So everybody feels completely full and satisfied, and actually it's said that everybody increases the service to Krishna to make Krishna more happy. Krishna becomes more happy. It's like a competition. It's like somebody wants to serve Krishna more to make Krishna happy. Krishna becomes happy, then they happier than their service, then they feel like want to serve Krishna more. It's like they compete with each other, or actually it's between Radharani and Krishna. It's all esoteric, so we'll not go into that. So it's okay. Right now we have been given this gift of this material body, burden, or best use of the bad bargain.
In the previous verse, in this fifth chapter, so Prabhupada has said, just by knowing that you are a soul, not a body, is not enough. You have to act as a soul.
Right.
So how does a soul act?
If
a body is not there, you have just a soul.
No, Prabhupada is talking about us now, acting like a soul now, not in spiritual world. He's not talking about that. So acting as a soul now means acting in our constitutional position of servant of Krishna. Acting like, doing everything for Krishna. Like serving Krishna, singing for Krishna, cooking for Krishna, taking care of children for Krishna. All these things, then we are acting in constitutional position. Okay, so we'll move on.
Maybe one point you said, super soul will approve based upon what?
What karma, what we deserve. Okay. So we'll go to the text number 16. Jnanena tu tat ajnanam esham nashitam atmana tesham aditya vajnanam prakashanti tat param. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So here Krishna is telling, because of his ignorance right now earlier, he thinks that super soul is a doer or is responsible. But in this verse he is emphasizing that, let's say if the soul is enlightened with knowledge, then what happens? His ignorance is destroyed. Nations is nothing but ignorance. Then his knowledge reveals everything. From within, because of his knowledge, everything he can see it clearly. What is right, what is wrong, what is service, what is not service. Everything is revealed. As how it happens, like a sun lights up everything in the daytime. So when the sun is there in the daytime, we can see everything very clearly. We know which is wall, which is water, which is tree, right? Everything. But whereas nighttime, what happens? No, we don't know. We may think a rope to be a snake, or we hit into a wall and things like that. Right? We can't see things clearly. So as sun lights up, similarly this knowledge of Krishna consciousness illumines the soul. So it can see everything clearly. So all this, later on Krishna says, all these impurities are removed. So we'll read like four lines down. What is that knowledge? So actually, okay, I have some points. So this knowledge is actually, Krishna is referring to here as spiritual knowledge, not the material knowledge, what we read from our school, colleges and things like that, right? So there is a very nice incident exchange between Srila Prabhupada and a professor. So Srila Prabhupada met a professor and he was telling, you know, now these days universities and colleges, there is department for everything, no? Science, radiology, sociology, everything, there is a department. But there is no department which teaches the spiritual subject matter. You know, that's actually very important knowledge which is not there. That's a main thing which is missing in the university system, Prabhupada. And the professor said, you know, why is it important? Why is it important to know about soul? Then Prabhupada said, you know, if you know about yourself, then you know about everything very easily. First, everything starts with ourselves. First, we have to know ourselves, then we start exploring about the world. Then you know about God and you know about others. So he said it's very important and these days it's missing. And this knowledge is glorified in, we referred to that verse earlier, right? In 9.2, where Krishna glorifies his knowledge. His knowledge is nothing but devotional service. Where Raja Vidya, it's the king of knowledge. I'll just read the translation. Yeah, so
Page 375.
Yeah, if somebody gets it, okay.
This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed.
Okay. So this knowledge is described, you know, glorified as the king of education. And the other characteristics also mentioned here. So this is Raja Vidya. This spiritual knowledge mentioned here. So did we read the section? Okay. What is that knowledge?
And what is the knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna. As he said in the 7th chapter, 19th verse. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam maam prapadyate. After passing through many, many births, when one perfect in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him. As everything is revealed by the sun in the daytime.
Yeah. We can pause it. So, Prabhupada is saying perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna. So, until that time, it's not really, you know, that's why after many, many births, when one is perfect in knowledge, surrenders unto Krishna. So, it is said elsewhere, you know, one who already surrenders to Krishna, he has fulfilled all his duties. All the obligations to forefathers, all the pious, whatever austerities and anything he has to perform, everything is done. Because the culmination of all of that is to come to Krishna and surrender to Krishna. Because all of that gave us that pious credit to come to this culmination. So once we come to Krishna, then Krishna gives us the full knowledge. And how Krishna gives the knowledge? It's given in another verse in chapter, right? Who knows that verse? How Krishna from within gives the knowledge. 10 point.
Remembrance and forgetfulness.
Yeah, that is he has a super soul. This one is I give the understanding by which you can come to me. Tesham satata yukta naam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upyantite. So 10.10 or 11. It's 10. Yeah, so Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna from within, if suppose somebody is sincere, you know, Krishna, I won't approach you. So from within, Krishna gives understanding or, you know, knowledge by which they can slowly, step by step, come closer to Krishna. Sometimes it's within, or because we don't see, hear super soul so much, sometimes it's from help from outside. Suddenly we meet a devotee, they will say something which inspires us. Or we come into association of devotees, something will happen where Krishna will help us come closer to him. So this knowledge is given from within. And next verse also similar, where Krishna says, I remove the darkness of this ignorance by this shining light of knowledge. So 10.12, that's similar to this knowledge verse.
10.11.
To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So same thing, right? How is this ignorance destroyed? This ignorance is destroyed by Krishna from within revealing the knowledge. Right? As the sun lights up in the daytime, so similarly, because of this light, everything is revealed. Okay, continuing further, real knowledge can be obtained from a person. Then Prabhupada is telling how to obtain this real knowledge. 5-6 lines down.
Yeah. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is in perfect Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is. For Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nations as the sun drives away darkness.
Yeah, we can pause there. So again, same point, right? We have to learn, get this knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master. Yeah, then it's a real knowledge. Otherwise, somebody may concoct and change the things. It's no more Bhagavad Gita as it is. So then later on in the purport, Prabhupada talks about Mayavadis and how they think, you know, Krishna doesn't have any form and things like that. So these are all, Prabhupada characterizes it as ignorance. Because of ignorance, they think like that. So the last three lines in the purport. At night
we see everything as one in the darkness, but in the daytime when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. Identity with individuality in spiritual life is real knowledge.
Okay, so here it's a deep point is making. At night we see everything as one. No, it's all dark, right? We don't distinguish the separate entities. You know, this is table, this is chair, this is wall. We cannot see all those things. But when sun is up, we can see everything clear, you know, this individually and separately, right? So actually, he's talking about Mayavadis here. So in darkness of ignorance, we see everything is one. No, okay, Krishna is one, we don't have form, we are all Brahman, we'll merge. But when the light of Krishna consciousness is there, we can identify, you know, it's separate. We all individually and we still serve Krishna. It's said that as if the difference between the philosophers is like, there's a green tree and there's a parrot which is green in color which enters the tree. So Mayavadis, they say everything is green. But actually if you go closer, you will see there is a parrot, there is a leaf, right? So many distinctions are there. So that's what the light of Krishna consciousness will give. So now that anyway, we are not so much bothered about Mayavadi, but it's like Prabhupada often, he makes this very clear to us. So then, sorry Prabhu?
No, I was just saying, Nirvitesha
Sunya. Yeah, that's correct. Prabhupada came especially to drive away. So then I was listening to this lecture and Prabhu was invoking this question among the audience. It's like, you know, we can also reflect. From the time we came to Krishna consciousness or come in touch with this knowledge, how much our life has changed. What were we thinking earlier? What were our desires? What were our thoughts? You know, what was our goal of life? What were our friends? Who were our friends? And now what changed in our life, right? Because of this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Now what are our thoughts? What are our desires? What is our goal? What are our aspirations? What do we want to do with our children? See, everything changed, right? So he was saying this Krishna consciousness is like all the cobwebs in the mind gets disappeared because of this light. And it's so crystal clear, this knowledge. There is no doubt. There is no... No confusion. Else there is one verse in Chanakya Pandit says actually, knowledge is a real wealth. Now somebody may say, oh, this person has money. Then we say, you know, he's a rich. Or these days, you know, it's all about money and everything. But actually, a person who has knowledge is the wealthy person. Now, because they can conquer and live in any situation and they can solve the real problems of life. Of course, we are not talking about materially knowledge, intelligent. We are talking about spiritual intelligence. Now, one who is, of course, this knowledge again, we don't acquire, right? It's revealed to us. Krishna, based on our sincerity, based on our how we practice, Krishna reveals. That's why it's not a measurement of how many years you are in Krishna consciousness. Somebody may be young, like for example, these brahmacharis, they come and talk to us, right? Many of them are actually younger to us, you know, Chaupati brahmacharis. But their realization, their knowledge are so deep actually, and they don't have to experience to. So that time Govind Prabhu came and is giving seminar about parenting. He's a brahmachari, you know, he never had kids in this life. But because of their, they have the realization from their previous lives and from what is revealed to them, that they can speak like that with conviction, that all of us who are struggling with taking care of the kids, we sit and listen to them. Right? So it's all revealed. So it's all about our sincerity. So according to our sincerity, Krishna reveals what is needed at every point in our lives. Okay. Okay, so we'll continue with the next verse. It's okay? Text number 17. Tad buddhayas tad atmanas tan nishtas tad parayana gacchanti apunar avritim jnana nirduta kalmasha. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. So here now the connection is, okay, now one has knowledge. So what does it take for him to become liberated? So what does it take is, he has to completely take shelter of Krishna. That's what is this verse. So he has knowledge now. So he has to completely put his intelligence, mind, faith and refuge in Supreme, which is Krishna. Then he will completely get cleansed of all these misgivings or anarthas, all this ignorance and lust, greed, envy, everything. Then he proceeds straight to liberation, where it's given here, right? Apunar avritam means never comes back again. Apunar avritam means to liberation, or the place from which you don't come back again. Apunar bhava is there, right? No, not again. A means not, puna means again. So not again, you don't take birth again, like that.
So the division of the verses, so you said from 13 to 16, you say who's the real doer. Now next division is...
Oh yeah, 17 to 26 is the next section. It's about actually liberation, or mainly focusing on super soul, or attaining liberation by focusing on super soul. 17 to 26. So from now on we'll see how one can focus oneself on super soul and gradually proceed towards liberation. So this again same thing, right? One's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge all fixed on Supreme. Then one gradually becomes cleansed and proceeds on the path of liberation. It's basically, he's talking about fully Krishna conscious person. Okay, we'll read the purport. From like 8th line down, one whose mind, intelligence, faith, 10-15 line, after the Sanskrit verse.
One whose mind, intelligence, faith and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, one who is fully in Krishna consciousness, is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and is in perfect knowledge in everything concerning transcendence. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality, simultaneous identity and individuality in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation.
Mm. So essentially, we should not have any misgivings about, or doubts, or rather, you know, unclear things about transcendence. You know, what is Krishna's position? What is my position? What is my role? What is the relationship? Vishnu Tattva, all this is a very, very detailed knowledge is there. So many things, it all becomes clear. The Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality in Krishna. What is the duality? Simultaneous identity and individuality. That means simultaneously we are one with Krishna and at the same time different from Krishna. Yeah. Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, it's said. Right? Simon, how are we one with Krishna?
How we are part?
It's like a
quality. Same quality.
Same in quality, which is Sachidananda, sphere soul. Krishna is also spiritual. difference in quantity, okay, and oneness and difference. Yeah, difference in quantity. Because Krishna,
like a gold mines.
Huh?
Like a gold ring and gold
mine. Gold mine, yes. So both are gold, but there is gold ring is very small, but gold mine is full of gold. Yeah, that's a very nice example Prabhupada says. So when we are equipped with such clear knowledge about Krishna, one can make steady progress. See, when we have doubts about, you know, what is Krishna, what is my role, then we cannot make steady progress. But when it's clear, that's why it's important to hear philosophy also. Some people, usually, you know, they're more inclined to service. They say, you know, okay, I'm just getting so much happiness in just doing service. You know, what is this, sitting in the class and listening? I'm boring, I'm feeling like sleepy, all those things, right? But it's important to hear this knowledge, right, also. Because we are not, it's not ascending again. It's not that I'm sitting and listening and I'm acquiring this knowledge. It's revealed by devotees. So it's revealed by Krishna, right? So, no, then we are approaching Krishna. Krishna reveals this knowledge. And when we do service, then that becomes realization. When we go and apply, then it suddenly strikes like this. Oh yeah, this is what I read. This is what is Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay, see here, I'm expecting result. I should not be doing this. See, all these things will come to us. So, okay, then what else? Whereas if we fix ourselves on matter, what happens? Here Krishna is saying if you fix ourselves on Krishna, then one attains liberation. If you fix ourselves on matter, that's what we have been doing, what will happen? Punaravritam. Punaravritam. So again and again, birth and death, birth and death. It's continuous going. So Prabhupada is saying, like, you know, we are so addicted to sinful activities. Now here it's a cleanse of all misgivings, right? So we are so addicted to sinful activities that if you call somebody and say, you know, you're doing sinful action, don't do it. They say, no, what's wrong in it? And let me do it. In one lecture, actually, Prabhupada was giving class and he's saying, telling about all the sinful activities we're doing, you know. Let's not do it. Next life, you know, we may become dog or hog or something. We cannot guarantee whether we'll get human life. Somebody stood up from the audience and said, you know, what's the problem if you become dog? Okay, that's fine. The Prabhupada is saying, you know, people are bravely going towards hell. It's like, bravely, you know, okay, let's march forward towards hell. It's like that. So, you know, even if you wake up somebody and tell them, you know, something wrong, they are not ready to accept. So that's why, you know, they need some piety also, even to start some, you know, being receptive. Then, no. Yeah, another incident story Prabhupada was telling. There are two men. They're fighting with each other. One man is hitting other, you know, beating other person. After some time, the person who is being hit, he started running, and the other person wants to hit is chasing him. So the person who is chasing him goes behind him and starts shouting, you know, "Hey man, why are you running?" Then the person turns back and said, "No, what's your problem if I run?" So it's very tricky the way, no, it took time for me to understand, you know, what's the significance of this. So the question is, the key is that person is not saying, "I'm running because you're hitting." He's saying, "I will run, I'll do whatever I want." It's like that. So, you know, he's running towards hell. We are saying, you know, don't run to the hell. And he's saying, "What if I run? What, you know, what if I run?" Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. The next verse, when one understands Krishna's impartial nature, we know that super soul's impartial nature, right? That he is not really creating anybody's sinful or pious activities, right? He's impartially sanctioning everybody's thing. So when one fully realizes super soul's impartial nature, one also, that person also becomes impartial to everyone, because he also becomes transcendental. So when we completely absorb ourselves in Krishna, we become like Krishna. We become pure like Krishna. So that person, he sees everybody equally. So that's the next very, very famous verse. Many of you might have heard this verse. Text number 18. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane kavi hastini suni chaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshina. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal knowledge see with equal vision, a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. So these sages who are equipped with knowledge, they see with equal vision, Samadarshi, Samadarshana, Samadarshina. Who all they will see equally? A learned person, a gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog and dog-eater. All of them they see equally. So we'll come to understanding, you know, what is this equal vision? You know, what does it practically means? There is some confusion about this also usually. Okay? So this equal vision is that seeing that this person sees that everybody is embodied according to their desires, and super soul is sanctioning and permitting their desires impartially. So super soul is situated in all these bodies and he is sanctioning their desires according impartially according to what they deserve. But everybody is embodied. There is nothing for them to be blamed basically. If you see, you know, it's all based on our desire. Based on the desire, somebody is embodied as a tiger. And impartially, super soul is sanctioning their desires. So I have to treat them, everybody as soul and everybody as how super soul is sanctioning them. No, I should not take offense with tiger. I should not take offense with the dog. Dog is acting the way it's acting because that's how he wants and the Krishna super soul is sanctioning it. So it's a spiritual. So it's equal vision based on the spiritual platform. But at the same time, it doesn't mean, you know, I start embracing the dog or I go put hand in my tiger. Because this person understands, because of the desires of the tiger, it's going to act according to the way it has to act. So if I put hand, it's going to eat. So I'm not going to embrace the tiger. So on a spiritual platform, he treats everybody equally, but he acts appropriately according to their material position. Disposition. Like we see that within devotee community also, it's very easy to understand, right? Like there are many variety of devotees. But we somehow naturally figure out how to behave differently with different people. Like naturally when we see somebody who's elevated and advanced, we feel like respecting them, we feel like serving them. Okay, can I give you something? Can I give water? Something, right? Naturally we want to do some menial service to them. And when we see somebody who's friends, we want to discuss, okay, let's discuss about Krishna, you know, okay, let's discuss his words, what about exam. We want to be friendship, develop friendship with the peers. When we see somebody newly coming and is struggling, you know, to chanting or, you know, they don't know four regulative principles, we want to sit and explain to them, show compassion and tell them what we heard, share with them. So these are all among devotee community. It's not that we treat everybody equally. Everybody, we make them sit on asana and everybody, we hear from everybody. It's not like that, right? It's not a utopian religion, right? They say. It's not like that. So there is differences. It's not like, okay, it's not like equanimity doesn't mean treating everybody same way. It means treating everybody appropriately according to what is needed. Got it? This is similar to actually, I'll tell about Srila Prabhupada's incident about this. So obviously we all know, right? Srila Prabhupada chastises Mayavadis like anything. No, he's actually Nivrishesha Shunyavadi. He's made for that, or rather, you know, he's come for that. So one person, he became very agitated and he came and challenged Srila Prabhupada, you know. Or rather, he said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you are an advanced transcendentalist. You are supposed to be Samadarshi and treat everybody with respect equally. So why you are chastising Mayavadis? Then he said, Srila Prabhupada very nicely answered that, okay, your son wants to go to school. Do you want to send him to, you know, any school? Or you want to give him the best school, best teacher, best education? People are nowadays moving to a community where they can go to best school, right? So much. So we make so much distinction, so much we analyze and say which is good, which is bad, and give the best to the child. So when we talk about spiritual knowledge, how can we go and hear from anybody? Then Mayavadi is saying Krishna doesn't have a form. Why should I go and sit and listen to that person? Spiritual knowledge is supposed to be, you know, that my whole spiritual life is dependent. Material life, okay. If we go on also, next life we can pick it up. But spiritual life once finished, how will we get it again? Right? It's so important. So I should be more careful about whom I listen from, right? So how can I say I will listen from anybody? How can I treat everybody equally? So that's why, you know, this Samadarshi, we should understand this concept clearly. What is this equal vision? Equal vision on a spiritual platform, that everybody is spirit, everybody is directed by Krishna accordingly in their actions. But materially, or rather, you know, dealings, we deal them appropriately. Or rather, in another way, like for example, among devotees, if somebody offends us or if somebody behaves somewhat differently, like let's say somebody is into sense gratification still, right? So we see them equally in the sense that we respect them, you know, they are struggling to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So we respect them in that matter. But at the same time, we don't go and associate with them because they are into sense gratification, then we get into it. We give association. You understand the point? We respect them that they are making progress sincerely according to their position. Right? But at the same time, we don't take their association because we know in certain matters, like let's say somebody wants to always blaspheme about others or always comes and tells about, oh, this Mataji said this, this Mataji said this, this Mataji. We know when we go to that person, it's just that's what they're going to tell. But we want to give them, we want to associate with them. So what we'll do, when the moment we associate with that person, you start talking about Krishna. You don't give them chance to talk about any of that. Right? Then you are having the dealings with that person. At the same time, you are not affected negatively by that association. So that way, you know, we should see all this. It's not that, you know, that person is doing all this means, you know, this is, you know, we start offending that person. So Krishna is asking us to cultivate this equal vision. Equal vision that everybody is actually serving Krishna. Advanced devotees actually see this so even more that, like for example, pure devotees, they see even non-devotees, even materialists, even gross materialists, they see them as serving Krishna. How? How do they see them as serving Krishna? So that's how they see everybody a servant of Krishna. Somebody is favorably serving Krishna, somebody is unfavorably serving Krishna, and somebody is serving indirectly, somebody is serving directly. But they see everybody as servant of Krishna and they try to help everybody as much as their receptivity.
How they are serving unfavorably?
Because they're not thinking about Krishna, right? They are going away from Krishna. Or sometimes they are atheistic towards Krishna, so they are unfavorable to Krishna.
Like non-devotees, they don't think about God at all.
No.
So how they are serving God?
They are
not thinking at all.
They're serving Krishna's energy. Material, okay. They're serving Maya, right?
Maya is just a order taker, right? Whatever you desire, Maya will take your input and it will just execute.
Correct.
We are not serving Maya directly. Maya is serving us, our desires, right? Maya
no, we are serving people who are under control of senses, they're serving Maya. If we give in to senses, we are first of all serving senses, and if you look at it from a higher point of view, we are serving Maya.
You are saying sense gratification is like serving Maya.
Yes, correct. If we are not serving Krishna, if it's not clear we are serving Krishna, that means we are serving Maya. Okay. So we'll go continue further down. We'll read the purport. The Lord is Paramatma. So we'll read from the purport what Srila Prabhupada explains as this equality. The Lord is Paramatma.
Is present both in the outcast and in the Brahmana. Although the body of the Brahmana and that of most outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature. But the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality.
Okay, got it? So this is the equality. Equality is because of the soul, it's a spiritual in nature, but the bodies are different. And Paramatma is present, that's also another this thing. Paramatma is equally present in all the bodies. Okay, so continuing further, what Srila Prabhupada talks about is the distinction between the soul and the super soul. Maybe we'll not. Okay. I think maybe we'll not go to that. You can read this. Further down, there is. Prabhupada talks about, you know, different distinction between soul and the super soul. I can summarize that. He says both of them, similarities and differences, he talks about. Similarities are both of them are Sachidananda, right? But the distinction is the soul is present in only one body, whereas super soul is present in all bodies. Right? And soul is tiny, whereas super soul is unlimited. These are similarities, and from what we read from the purport, I summarized it. You can read it also. So actually, I wanted to share one personal experience about this Paramatma Paramatma aspect, which like struck me, and somehow I was wondered by that realization. So I hope we can take it home, and or rather it brings a point home. So once my own brother, he was also studying masters here, and he finished graduation, and he said, "Akka, why don't you, sister, why don't you come and attend my graduation party?" By the time we were married, so like, okay, let's go, Colorado, Denver. So we went there, and of course he somehow he has some health issues, so he struggled with his education, everything. And because of that, and also because of the US, everything, he picked up a lot of bad habits, like smoking and maybe drinking and all those things also. And somehow, he slowly listens to me and somehow chants and everything, he did all those things. But anyway, we thought it's a way to exchange our love, so we had to, nobody else is there with him, right? So we have to go and be there with him. But I was a little bit concerned about, because we are very strict about our practices. So I don't know what will it be, the situation, where will we stay and things. We didn't clearly think about all those things. So we thought, okay, we'll stay with him. Like just two people in there, and they have three bedroom room or something. And the other roommate is not there. So we thought, okay, we'll stay with him. So we went like that. So I think that night we slept or something. We don't know. Next day I went to take bath. So in the bathroom I went. Oh my God, it was stinking like anything. Because especially toilet, right? Poor thing, my brother, I think, spent one whole day trying to clean it. But still, I couldn't bear the smell. I started crying there. And of course, I was very new in Krishna consciousness also. But I couldn't tolerate it. I started crying and I called my Prabhu and said, I cannot stay here. Let's stay in hotel, attend the graduation. But I cannot stay here. I cannot chant here. I cannot do anything here. I did that. But the realization I got after that is that, being a own sister, I was able to make that step, saying, I'll stay away from him. I could do it. But Paramatma is there within his heart. He is constantly with him. With all these nonsense activities anybody does, he is bearing and being tolerant. He is witnessing and sanctioning and permitting. He doesn't have a choice. He'd escape, saying, "No, okay, now I'll take an exit. I'll stay in a hotel. Let this body be like this." No, he never does that. That's what it felt, oh my God, Krishna is so merciful, I felt. He's so merciful, life after life, he's coming behind us. So that one day we'll turn to him and say, "Krishna, I'm done with this, can you please guide?" And then Krishna will help us now, from now on, instead of just satisfying our desires, he's going to direct it in a proper way. That for that only reason, he's running behind us and staying with us. Otherwise, he can say, "Oh, you made a decision to go without me. Okay, go. Just you go enjoy yourself." But to enjoy ourselves also, we don't have knowledge. So he comes with us as a super soul and he says, "Oh, enjoy like this. Go enjoy bar like this. Enjoy movies like this." He has to give the intelligence. He has to give the knowledge. He has to give the resources. So we are so much dependent on Lord, but we think we are so independent. So it's so ingrained in us actually. We hear so much. No, I can speak to myself. We hear so much. We reflect. But still, we act like that. We act, we are independent in all our thoughts and actions. We act, we are the doers. We hear so much, and three doers, we are not the real doer. The moment we go home, the car is not starting, traffic is there. We say, "Oh, damn traffic, what is this?" No, we think we are the doers.
You've been ingrained from our birth, maybe eons of
time. Eons of time, yeah.
Right. You can't even think without those personal pronouns, right? Any sentence you speak, within 10 sentences, the I, we, you, me, us, we, something will come.
But the only hope is that actually this devotional service and Krishna consciousness is so potent that, even if it's eons, eons of so much bondage we have, if we sincerely take to it, it has the power to deliver us within one lifetime. So always it is said we should end the lecture in a high note. No, it's not that we go with depression that, oh, okay, I'm stuck. So many lifetimes and Paramatma is somehow tolerating, I don't have any hope. No, we should go with a positive note that, okay, my hope is Krishna consciousness. So I should take it up seriously and, you know, I have all the help required. You know, I have devotees, you know, we especially all of us are very, very favorably situated. We have devotees, association, temple, festival, so many things. All is needed is our eagerness, our sincerity, our desires, our efforts. Right?
That story also swings.
Yeah, that story, what's it? My
so
job.
So
yeah.
Really you went out or not?
Yes.
After that he graduated and he left. I left.
No, she didn't.
You
I
went
came
out to hotel? Or
yeah, no? I stayed in hotel. I couldn't stay. But at least Krishna gave me this realization as a gift. This thing, you know. Then I shared that in the class with my teacher. Then he said, you know, if you have that realization, no, it, if you remember this realization, you will make tremendous advancement. If you remember, if you,
what is the realization? Is it
realization is that super soul, Krishna is merciful.
So in next situation, Mataji, you will stay with him.
No, then again, I have to act according to my advancement, right? If I stay with him, if I feel very, no, if I become more angry with him because of my, if I'm not able to tolerate, then it's not good for him. If I stay away and let's say I can be, at least in a few exchanges, I can be loving to him, it helps him. Instead of me being frustrated and shouting at him, let's say, you know, with family members, we behave the way we behave, right? How we used to behave childhood, that's how we behave. We forget all our Krishna consciousness. So then, no, that's why, you know, better to take a step back and just, you know, be more ingrained, especially when we go to India and things like that. We should be more careful that we somehow keep up our chanting. So, you know, we can behave in a way which is more amicable for everyone. Otherwise, main frustration is I'm not able to chant, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not able to tolerate the smell and all this.
I'm sure he must have had some realization to that, you know. That if you went to the hotel, meaning like his
poor thing, I felt so bad for him. Yeah. I felt very pity for him. Like, you know, I felt bad that this thing, but I felt like he's so deep into ignorance actually, you know, that he couldn't even distinguish that the smell. He's living in that, imagine. So sorry.
So like habit is like if you do continuously 21 days, it becomes habit, it's regular activity even then.
Yeah.
So like that is
it is said that man creates habit and then habit creates the man later on. Then, you know, you will be dominated by the habit. Later on, he came and stayed with us after his graduation, and that 6 months when he stayed, of course, he avoided all non-veg, everything, and he ate prasadam and he started chanting all those things. Then he went back to India and now again he lost it, but at least some period of time he chanted. So hopefully some lifetime he'll pick it up. And the other thing is, if we are so compassionate about our family members, the one thing we can do for them is if we take it up seriously, that's the greatest benediction we can give to them. Because Krishna, just because they're related to us, Krishna will help them. Somehow, he will help them. So let's pray for him. All of us, I'm seeking your prayers and blessings. For him and for all of us. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm so somewhat. In any time, we can get into any situation like that. So all the time, we need prayers and blessings and, you know, we need this association. Okay, so we can stop here. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments? So I think it's all time.
Just one little story that I had. So you said that Krishna comes to us hoping that we turn around, right? No matter how many eons we have done, we just have to chant. So the example Velukudi Krishna Swami gave was like, so we have a doubt, we have committed eons of sins, how will chanting few thousand names will go? It's like this, a cave is there filled with darkness.
Yeah.
So if somebody lights a lamp, the darkness cannot argue that I have been there for centuries, I will stay, you burn for 10 years, I will go. So it's, his name is so pure and powerful, it will drive you.
Very nice. Very good. Yeah, very good.
I didn't think he came.
Very nice. Very nice. Hare Krishna. So now that leads to us next session of chanting the holy names with intensity. Then we can, you know, chant at least 108 names. 108 into 16. Hare Krishna.